Tonight, Sunday Night Big Brother Recap is sponsored by TrueCar. You know, there's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. Using TrueCar can help you buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from the TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. You'll get to see what other people pay for the car that you want so you can know what a fair price is and feel confident. You won't have to act on incomplete information like when Paul was the HOH and didn't know what Jessica's advantage was. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. And with TrueCar, you'll easily find the new or used car that you want. Best of all, TrueCar users have an average savings of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's all pumped up to hear about that, Kevin Schluber. I'm Rob Sisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Sunday night West Coast edition of the Big Brother 19 recap. We've got a very fun show, 1 week in the making here today, because we were supposed to talk to this person last week, but divine intervention prevented that. There was a terrible blackout, but now here she is with us to talk about everything going on in Big Brother 19 and much more. The great Karen Singbiel. Karen, how are you?
Hey, good. Hey guys, how are
you? Good. So nice to see you here on the podcast. You were so much fun that you probably there are some people listening to us here tonight that may not have seen you on Big Brother Canada. Karen, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I am a mom of three boys. I am a diehard fan of the Big Brother series. I love reality TV. I tried for 5 years and I got on to torment that Kevin Robert Martin.
Yes. And a finalist in Big Brother Canada 5. And probably, if it wasn't for a bitter jury, would have won, right, Karen?
I don't think so.
All right. And I'm very excited also to have with us here tonight a man who always lands on his feet, the great Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Dun, 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 dun. I can't believe they actually don't copyright that. Like, I think you're not allowed to sing on the feeds. And I think that Calliope song is like something somewhere written by somebody who gets royalties. So he's either doing a really bad job of singing it or they just don't care.
Okay. Brent with the copyright law. Brent, last night I listened to your episode of the Taryn Show podcast. A great listen.
Thanks, Rob. It was a lot of fun talking with Taryn and getting to talk about everything that's happened in my crazy life. But honestly, I cannot compare to the woman who's on the show with us today. Karen, I'm the biggest fan of you. You're so amazing.
Forget
I love
Taryn
watching
show.
You.
This is the Karen Show.
From the first episode. Yes, it's the Karen Show. I did the Taryn Show. Now I'm doing the Karen Show. You're so great, Karen. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Brent, my one fan. Thank you.
All right, let me just open this up to your questions. Hashtag RHAP. If you want to get in some questions for Karen here tonight, we will be taking them in just a little bit. And very excited. Thursday night, we will be in New York City for our big live show with Eric Stein and Johnny Mack coming up on Thursday night in New York. Tickets, about 9 tickets left. If anybody wants to jump in, don't be like a Johnny come lately because you're not going to get in. Go to robswebsite.com/BB19Live. All right, Karen, let's first. What are you thinking of Big Brother 19? Are you enjoying it?
Yes, absolutely. I love all the BBs. I don't care who's on there. Give me some drama, some crying, some pot slamming, something to entertain me during the summer. Yes, okay. I do.
Now, Karen, for the uninitiated, they may not know that Big Brother Canada featured returning players coming back into the house. And I think you know this, that my favorite moment with you was in the first night of Big Brother Canada when you famously said to returning players, "This is why none of you all ever effing won the game." And so here is Paul, though, but he has come back and he has really dominated the action. Yeah. Has that ruined it for you? Do you feel like, you know, yes, Paul, I liked you in Big Brother 18, but now I don't like you here in Big Brother 19?
Okay, you're in my head. That is exactly how I feel. I'm like, oh my God.
That's how you feel about everybody.
I liked you. What happened to you? He can't get through the door with his ego. I don't like the ego, Rob. I don't. It's like, I just need somebody. I need an Ika Wong to take him off the throne. Who's going to do it?
Yeah, well, that's been a question that we have debated a lot so far this season. So let's talk about tonight's episode, which really started off with Jessica's reveal, where she said that she has this power. And then everybody was very curious about what she was doing. To me, I think that this was very confusing in terms of the way that she handled it, Karen, because she really intimated, hey, I've got this power and we've got this advantage, so Cody and I are going to be safe. But then she was very vague about the specifics of what it was going to do. And she never really, like, she just like sort of like was a little passive aggressive and really tried to be cute and dance around it with Paul. And ultimately, her and Cody ended up on the block. And she talked about with Cody, like, oh, this is her poker face. You know, Cody, you don't play in the competition because we have to be coy. But it seems like that was a mistake, Karen.
Yeah, I agree. So, first of all, her outing it, I think that was a bad move. She should have just kept her mouth shut and not outed her hex anyway, right? To be able to halt the elimination. Then, why Cody went against his gut and listened to her and didn't go try to play in that? I was shocked at that. I'm thinking, oh my God, really? And now she's trying to, well, we don't do spoilers on here, do we?
We'll get into the live feeds later on in a little bit.
Okay, so, you know, knowing what I know, I think, no, bad, 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 all the way around. Like, very disappointed in this because she screwed up her HOH with the POV, had the power, and now this is going on? I'm very disappointed, disappointed.
Brent, you and I were talking on the Friday morning update about how, okay, well, was this maybe the best possible move for her to announce that she has it, and then ultimately was there a way that she could have played it? But it seems like that she sort of had this half measure where, hey, I want you to know that I have an advantage, and she just thought that people were going to sort of be afraid. I guess that she was trying to go for this, you know, Mike Boogie Big Brother All-Stars type move of, I've got this power, it's really powerful, you don't want to mess with it, so go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I was here for the TV moment, as I mentioned previously. I mean, it was great. I love seeing a bomb like that dropped on live TV. The host didn't know what to do, Julie, obviously, and the rest of the house guests didn't know what to do. But then she misplayed it after that. She really should have showed her hand and said, this is what it is, and this is why you can't touch me. This is why it would be a waste of your HOH, because I really do believe, and I've gotten some pushback from some fans, that if Paul knew what her power really was, he would say, you know what, I want to get something out of my HOH. I don't want it to just be a nothing week. So I think he would have at least taken a shot at somebody else, but she didn't. And of course, Paul's like, well, look, I'm going to put you up. And in worst case scenario, they say I can't put you up and I have to put up two other people. And he was kind of waiting for the bomb to drop and it didn't happen.
Yep. Karen, I agree.
And we came up with the scenario on Friday where if Cody could have kept himself safe on the block, you have this potential scenario where Cody could have gone into the temptation competition and ended up being safe for the week. And then potentially where if Cody or Jessica won the veto, they could have both walked away safe from this week in that scenario. And then they wouldn't have to have used the temptation hex. So it really feels like that they did not play this correctly on any level.
Absolutely. That's how I feel 100%. I think what you got to get out of your own head. Like, she's really not thinking through her game, and emotionally she's just playing too emotional with everybody and trying to work her different angles. And it's like, just play your game, girl. Stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like Jessica more when Cody was not in the house, Karen?
Well, she became a lot more likable, didn't she? Because she had to play a social aspect, or she was going to be just, you know, crying in the blue room like Josh. She was going to be a complete loner by herself. So she actually straightened up a little bit, but, you know, we'll get into that, like you said, with the feeds later, because mm-hmm. I'm so disappointed in this.
Okay, and then also in that immediate fallout, we got to see some flashbacks from Thursday, which was earlier in the day than the eviction. We saw where Josh was playing up about how he was going to be going home that night, and he wanted to wake up Mark so that he could spend quality time with him that day.
We only got 8 hours of bonding.
Okay. So, Karen, let me ask you this, because I was watching one of Taryn's updates over the weekend, and he was talking about that Cleo the Leo had said, if you want to understand Josh, that the only way to get in his headspace is to recognize that he is trying to be Aika Wong. Do you feel like, is that a fair assessment of Josh?
Oh, I think he idolizes Aika. I don't know if he's trying to be Aika. I think what he's trying to do is make a statement and be loud and proud and out there, because he's trying to fit in a lot. So I think Aika was such a strong presence and knew and was so focused. I feel like he's, you know, his own worst enemy and a hot mess of his game, but he wants to play. That's what I like about the guy. I love that he's creating drama. I love that he's creating some shit and stirring it up. At least he's not boring as F.
Yes, okay. I guess he has that going for him, Brent.
He does. And by the way, I think you totally jinxed this on the previous podcast I did with you about the whole meatball thing, running it into the ground, because I think it's here for the season, Rob. You might as well just get used to it. It's here.
Wait, and I jinxed it in that he was going to say it the whole season?
Yes. Made such a big deal about the whole meatball thing. Like, I think this is bad. Like, this is not as good as friendship, and he's really overdoing it. How many times did he say meatball? And then now every episode is going to be meatball, I swear. It was all your fault.
Okay. You can blame me for that, but that is not going to stick. Go ahead.
It probably won't. I agree with Karen, though. As much as Josh does irritate me at times, he's a fan of the show. Yeah. I also do agree with your assessment of him trying to be Aika Wong. I don't know if he's actively, like, consciously trying to be Aika Wong, but he certainly, like, knows everything about Aika Wong, watched that season, idolized her, loved her.
Yeah.
When he did the interview with Aika, he knew exactly who she was, what happened on her season, how she acted with Netta, you know, what she said to Kevin. He railed against Kevin for taking it away from Aika. So he idolizes Aika just like I do.
Yeah.
And I think that there are definitely elements of her game that are seeping into his, if they weren't there already.
You know, it's funny, though, as he was going through that whole thing with the pans, it looked like it was affecting Mark, that Mark did not know how to react to it. Like, they cut to Mark and he was just like, just frozen. like, what do I do? What do I do here?
I find at times he goes into that dead stare, or then he goes into the kind of like puffed up, like roid rage, like, I'm going to kill you, but I can't, because remember when Rich came on, like, a couple weeks ago, and it's like, you can go to nose, but don't touch each other, because they've been warned, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben.
Yeah. So Mark did not really know how to affect it. And so Mark was really upset over this eviction, where he finds out that he was part of that minority group that was blindsided. Him and Elena and Cody all were the three people that were on the outs. And this really drives Mark closer to Cody, but it also drives a wedge between him and Elena. Karen, what do you think about the Mark and Elena tension?
Well, I think it's Paul that's doing the wedge, Paul's working his magic on both of them and getting the wedge, and just basically they're his little soldiers that are doing what he wants. But I mean, really? You throw your guy out that fast? Like, have you watched the show? Usually pairs are pretty strong. You got a pair or a trio? I'm just like, I'm not a big Elena fan.
Why, Karen?
You know what? I don't know. Even from the beginning, her and Jillian, I both said, like, I won't even remember those girls' names. That's just like, I'm a fan of the show. So you've always have different characters. It's like ball teams that you like and you don't like. I don't know why. I don't care for her that much. I don't know what it is.
She's a little safe. It feels to me like that. I don't know if Karen agrees with me on this, but I want to like Elena. I really do. But I just wanted to open up her eyes and kind of wake up. I wanted to get woke, you know, and I wanted to realize that this vote was not an accident. You know, you need to wake up and smell the coffee, sister, because you're in trouble. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, you watch her going back to Paul and trying to, and I realize he's the HOH, and so anything she says to him may or may not be true. But from me watching her on the feeds, I feel like that was pretty true, that she really still believes in her relationship with Paul, and I feel like that's going to be her downfall.
I do too.
Karen,
I agree.
What did you think about Paul's decision to ultimately try to call this bluff, where he's getting this information from Jessica? He seems to get frustrated with her and say, you know what? I don't want to hear it anymore. You had your chance. I'm going to put you on the block. I need to see what's going on. And so he ends up going with Jessica and Cody as his nominations. Did you feel like that was the right course of action for him?
Well, I think that either way that he was going to have them on the block one way or the other. He's trying to work with everybody else, the other eight of them. So, I mean, who else was there? It's like she was trying to bluff him not to get her, put them up. But yet who else was going up, honestly?
Yeah, the real problem for him ultimately ended up being that Mark wins this temptation competition, which really did eat up a lot of time in the middle of the episode. I mean, we spent like 8 minutes on Whistle Nut not doing good in the bowl arena competition. Yeah. And Brent, that was a real time suck in the episode, this whole competition.
Yeah, I would have liked to see more about the fallout from the vote. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff being said behind closed doors about, you know, this is our story, or when what was the story? When did this plan happen? How did this flip? You didn't hear anything on the episode about, you know, why they voted out Ramses, what they were telling Jessica and Cody, that he had $25,000, that he was acting sketchy, that they were afraid of him for the HOH competition. None of that made the episode, because it was all about this temptation competition, which was fun, and I like this aspect of it. I'm on record as saying I like this element of the game, and I wouldn't mind them even keeping it, but it did seem like that our strategy and character development suffered in favor of this competition.
Karen, what do you think of the strategy that Paul tried to implement of having a bunch of his allies just try to stack the field of make it so somebody like Mark couldn't win? Did you think that while it did not work, that the concept was a good one?
You know what I always think? I mean, that he needed to have some kind of backup plan if Jess and Jody were telling the truth, so Mark could have gone out the door. But now where are they? Now what's going to happen? I don't think Paul really believes her at all, that she has the power to stop this vote this week. And when it happens and his HOH is ruined, I'll be the first one laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point in the episode, like after he made these nominations, he does not believe, even after this episode, like, you know, in an hour after this, he still doesn't believe that she has anything.
No.
And so he's going to be surprised come Thursday if she uses the hex.
Okay.
I think so too.
We saw a lot of people from Paul's side also offering to go up on the block as pawns for Paul. Karen, does that just make your head explode when you see that?
Yes. Yes, because you saw the Monday meltdown in my season. Like, your ass never, I don't care, pawns go home. You don't want to sit in that seat if you want
to
stay in the house.
Paranoia.
Everybody needs paranoia. Everybody needs it. You don't want to go home. You're supposed to be staying in the house. I don't give a shit how you do it. Stay in the house. You don't offer yourself up as the lamb, the sacrificial lamb or the pawn ever. You're trying to stay, people.
Yeah.
Well, the things that they, I mean, I, look, I, Rob, I will agree with you a little bit, but in a house this divided, this polarized, I mean, if there's ever a time to volunteer, I guess this is it. But on the other hand, if you're not on the block, you can't go home. So there's If you're on the block, there's always a possibility somebody could decide, you know what, but maybe there's a house meeting. Maybe there's a fight that happens the night before the eviction. Maybe there's a power in play. You just don't know when you volunteer to go on the block, especially with these temptations in play.
No, I would be scared to death with these temptations.
I would be scared too. Karen, it seemed like that for the first time this season, we actually saw Matt on the show. Did you notice that as well?
Who?
Yeah.
Who? Which one? This guy who eats the cereal like this?
Yes. Cereal.
He has a name?
He has a name. But what he must have got like does four he have or like five a confessionals tonight.
Does he have a full name or just one name?
I think he has a last name.
Is his name his real name or his nickname?
I think that's his real name.
I don't know him.
Yeah.
So we can go on.
Brent, do you feel, am I out there on a limb that he has sort of like become a bit of a presence on the show?
I guess a little bit of a presence. Yeah, I'm with Karen on this one. There really wasn't much Matt there. I mean, this isn't spoilers, but Matt said something to the effect of, you know, I've been trying to play a really low key game this season. I'm like, no shit. Really? Like, come on.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we saw then, Jessica a couple times then try to talk to Paul again before the nominations about how she wants to know, you know, am I going to be blindsided? Can you tell me what you're going to do from Paul? But he is not really giving any information to her either, Karen, at this point. But she's sort of like, is there anything you want to ask my opinion about? She really was not being direct with Paul at any point in this process.
But, I mean, don't be direct. Just make up some lies or have a conversation or lead him down some other path. Like, do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, just the non-commitment and the non-existence of the conversations is what he just dictates. And everybody goes, okay, Jim Jones, where's the Kool-Aid? It's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob, the problem was that her pride got in the way. She was insistent that Paul come to her. She's like, I want him to come to me. He's supposed to come to me. He was going to want to know what this power is. And she kept reminding Cody that, you know, in the Big Brother game, you cannot lie about a power that you say that's in the game. You can't lie about that. That's called using production as a strategy. So she's counting on the fact that Paul knows this and that he's a vet. But on the other hand, she's not giving him the full story. And even though Paul's played a season, he probably knows that it's about as much about Big Brother as your rando on the street, so, as far as Big Brother history goes. So I don't know that this was necessarily a good play on her part. And she couldn't have played this worse because, again, it was a half measure. And she, in going to him and seeming sketchy, like, you know, do you want to ask me anything about it? It just made her look worse.
Yeah.
Like, of course he's going to try and test you to put you up.
Yeah. Do you have any specific questions about the hex?
Yeah. She wanted him to come to her.
Yeah. Now, Paul got to have some time with Elena, and it really feels like that he's feeding her such a line of BS to her. You know, that she got blindsided, and you would think that she would be like rightfully upset about this, but he's trying to like tell her like, you know, I've got you as part of this bigger plan that I can't tell you about, and we may need to vote your showmance out of the house, but it's all part. I'll invite you into this bigger plan, Karen. I mean, how many red flags do there need to be for Elena?
Yeah, how many? That's what I keep sitting there saying to myself, like, come on! Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you playing the same game?
Yeah.
Like, are you playing the same game? I don't get it.
Now, that's the thing, Karen. She's not. She's not playing a game like you played. She's not playing a game where she doesn't care if she goes home. Like, she's playing a safe game. She wants to make sure she doesn't go. And all these people want to make jury. That's all they ever talk about,
okay? That drives me crazy, doesn't
it?
Who talks about that with the jury?
That means you're a loser. If you're in jury, you're a loser. I don't understand it. But anyway, like I said, she's not playing a game like you played because she is trying to just ingratiate herself with this side of the house. I guarantee you, if she had won HOH, there's a reasonable possibility that Paul would have convinced her to put up Jessica and Cody. I really do believe that, even though she was on the wrong side of the vote. Yeah. So I don't have a lot of faith in her, Rob.
I don't either.
Karen, do you feel like that Paul is going to win the game, or do you think that there are starting to be some cracks that are forming?
You know what? I saw cracks in the last 2 days, but not very strong ones. Like, I think the first ones are going to be, I'm hoping, is going to be Whistlenut and Kevin to go after him. And Christmas, I saw cracks in her today, and I'm thinking, please do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please.
Do you feel like that this is a unfair format to bring back just one person who's played the game before, as opposed to the Big Brother Canada 5, which, I mean, congratulations on the renewal, by the way. Big Brother Canada 5, awesome. Which was sort of like a fans versus favorites.
Well, I mixed feelings about this, because if this is where it's going to turn into, like the Paul show, and I didn't get to watch BBOT, but Jason was the only one brought back for that, right?
So that is correct, yeah.
This is a consistent theme now with one vet, one vet, one vet.
Yeah, I mean, Big Brother 11 was also that Mr. Pectacular was the only vet brought back in that season.
But he was only given, like, the first HOH of safety. Like, why they've stacked it so in favor of Paul this season? Why? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Victor was the one that came back 3 times last year. So was Paul such a fan favorite is what I just have to think for a rating wise. He must have just been a huge fan favorite, and they thought, let's bring him back and everybody will love him. But unfortunately, I don't think that's what I did a poll. And
your poll say?
It said Act 69 of the Paul Show was my title. And Act 69 of the Paul Show. Gotta go. Love it. Friendship rules. And on the fence. And it was like 62% gotta go. Okay. And I'm like, okay, good. It's not just me. I have done a scientific study on Twitter. Please don't drag me.
All right, Brent, the scientific poll says.
Yeah, and it's okay. I trust Karen's polls a lot more than I trust Taryn's polls, I'll tell you.
What Taryn's saying?
Always putting up a damn poll. Anyway, I do feel like that I agree with Karen here, because, look, the thing is, it's like, you know, you had some candy and you really liked the candy and so you ate it all season, and then you get the candy next year again, you start eating it again. It just doesn't taste the same. You're kind of sick of it. I'm kind of sick of seeing Paul on my TV screen. It wouldn't be so bad, I suppose, if there were like other vets in the house, because we'd be seeing everybody. But Paul is such a good narrator, so of course they choose him to narrate everything. They choose him to narrate competitions that he's not even in, Rob.
Yeah.
So that's why we as super fans get sick of him.
I know, but I feel like that it's probably he's playing really well. He's doing everything he can to be entertaining. I don't know what else people like. I know people like want him to have a fall, but is there anything that he could be doing that is different? Like I know Taryn talked about this over the weekend. People complain, oh, Derek was so boring. I mean, Paul is never boring. Maybe he tries too hard with the catchphrases and stuff like that in the diary room, but I really feel like he's playing his ass off. And on top of that, he's really bringing it in the diary room, just like, you know, the production would have hoped.
You know, I feel like you've got like an Elroy, this star quarterback with a farm team.
Elroy? Like,
he's the star quarterback, Paul.
Yeah.
And the groupies are the farm team that haven't quite made it up to the majors or whatever.
But who's Elroy?
What isn't John? What was it with John Elroy? Elway.
I thought you were talking about the
so I look at it
Jetsons.
Like I look at it like it's like, you know, just not even on the same playing level. If you threw a couple vets in there, like ours had 8, but look, the egos took over and disintegrated.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just look at it like they're just going to keep following along with what he says. Like he gets in their face and like dictates. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go downstairs and start a fight with this one now. Okay. I mean, it's great for him, Rob, because yeah, he's going to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but as Rob, a fan, no.
There are two things that are happening here with Paul. I really do believe. Number one, the one thing that because he knows a lot of stuff. He's like, fans don't like it when you do this. Fans don't like it when you do that. The one thing that he doesn't really know that fans don't like it when you do is the one thing that he can't know because he was never a vet last season. Fans don't like it when you vet-splain everything to the rest of the house and tell them what to expect and tell them how this works and tell them what's going to happen because it takes all the fun out of seeing all of these people discover Big Brother for the first time. Yeah, and the other thing he's doing, unlike Derek, I know he's being entertaining, but he's severely micromanaging everybody to an extent where everybody has their marching orders, like Karen is sick of and I'm sick of, and it just gets to a point where I'm like, who is going to challenge him? Because I don't even see somebody who's even thinking
but
about putting him up at this point.
Don't you feel like that is probably more of a flaw in his game and one that will ultimately result in him losing, Brent? Can't you see the potential cracks maybe starting there? I mean, there's still 2 months left of this game.
I'm trying to transport myself to last season when how did you feel about the cast this season? And I'm like, people I hated, I ended up loving. People I loved, I ended up hating.
Always.
So there's always a possibility if Paul gets on the downside and it's him against the world and he has to pull out a few comps, I think that you'll see him shoot to the top of Jokers and I'll be there going, yes, queen. So, you know, but right now, I don't want to see him anymore because his ego is so big and I can't, no fans like it when your ego is this big and you literally are like master of the universe and control everything.
Karen, I really totally think though agree. That Paul has been well served though by having Jessica and Cody in the house. I think this was actually a net positive for Paul that Cody came back and really ended up being, him and Jessica reconnected and ended up being a big threat in the house. Like in that week where Cody was gone, where Paul was trying to make it seem like, oh, Dominique is the bad person in the house. You know, I feel like that was probably pretty thin soup. And at least Cody coming back was like a clear and present danger that he can keep all of his minions pointed to of like, hey, they're the bad people. They're the enemy. Once he loses that's when I think that people are going to start to look inward and say,
okay,
Paul is the guy that has to go home.
Absolutely. But I'm thinking, shouldn't they be thinking about that now? Like setting themselves up for that? That's why I'm like, I can't believe they're not there already knowing what's going on. It's like, come on, you guys. They are at day 40.
Now, Karen, I've been waiting to have you on so we can get your take on Kevin. Not just because of the famous interactions that you had with a Kevin in Big Brother Canada, but you also talked a lot about being the older person in the game and how challenging that was to sort of have this age divide between you and the majority of the house. So how do you think that Kevin is doing with all that?
You know what? I think he's doing well as well because he has the 7 kids and he has good social relationships and he's doing exactly what I tried to do is he's getting them on different sides that they have their own little groups. And so then hopefully he'll get an inside to hear, you know, who's thinking of throwing out who next or who's working with who. And hopefully he can get that angle and work it because he's got 7 kids. He already knows how and he's got the life experience. I love him. Love him, love him, love him. I'm so glad that the old people are staying around, including myself.
Yes. Do you think that he's done a good job? Because he's actually come in and played a bit harder than I think people expected him to play.
You know, I think sometimes he goes and then he plays that kind of dumb role. He is so smart and he knows exactly what he's doing. And I just love to see the manipulation of him weasel himself in and out of what he's going to do. Like he knows numbers. The other day he was talking about gambling and, you know, he could do a lot better than he wants to in these comps. But that's his part of his angle. It's his shtick.
Karen, if Kevin makes it to the final two and people don't vote for him, do you think is there an issue with the game in terms of how players are voting, especially if Kevin along the way, you know, really played it up that he didn't know what was going on at times? Like, is that a hard pivot for him to be able to sell to the jury of, no, I actually knew what I was doing the whole time and that you should vote for me even though I duped you?
I think that the jury never gives as much credit to a social game. They're always going to give more to the comp. So if he's up there in the final two with somebody that competed better and won a bunch, there's no way. But he's so likable over this cast, I can't see him not winning if he gets to final two, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good point about the social game versus the physical game. And I know that in modern Big Brother, there's, you know, people get up there and say like, oh, I won three HOHs, I won four vetoes.
Yep.
I mean, now you have these temptation competitions and road kills and things like that. You know, we talked about like last season, Victor was padding, I won 17 competitions this season, counting the battle back and all this stuff. Do you think it's even more of a disadvantage for people who aren't winning the competitions?
I think, you know what, it's going to always be that way. It seems to have gone that way, and that's the way it's going to keep going. That's just my take on it. But I mean, like, Victor had that, but he wasn't as strong a social player. Paul was a better social player, don't you think?
Yeah. Brett, did you see those pictures of Victor in, what was it, Men's Health?
Yeah. Was he with Nicole?
I don't know.
When you started talking about pictures and Victor, I'm with Karen. I thought you were going to talk about the Victor and Nicole thing.
No, is that official? Is that official, or are they trolling people?
Rob, I don't know. What do you want from me, these kids?
Because, you know, this Big Brother 18 cast, they love pranks.
Yeah.
They love pranks.
I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on. I didn't see his pictures, but Victor's obviously a very hot guy. But the thing that I keep reminding people any chance I get is that, you know, Paul wasn't that great of a player last season, even though he made it to the final two. He had his best partner and ride or die come back into the house three different times he was there.
Yeah.
And that guy took Paul's place every freaking time. Because if Victor wasn't there, I guarantee you Paul would have been evicted. But every time they wanted to evict Paul, they looked at Victor and they're like, oh, well, we've got to evict the muscle instead of this guy.
Competitions. We got to get rid of him.
It's
and
true.
So he made it to the final two with like two or three get out of jail free cards because his partner came back. And then he still lost in the final two by making a mistake.
Yeah. Okay, I want to get to some of your questions here with Karen, and let's bring up number one, and this is from Kristen C., who says, did the Den of Temptation voice guy call Alex Alice when announcing the house guests who were competing in the new competition? Karen, you say yes.
100%. I'm like, he just called her Alice. I said that to myself, too. Yes, he did.
Brent, are you buying or selling that? Did that happen?
I actually, that's the funny part. Like, I watched them do that and I saw them like saying something, but I kind of just blew past it. So I can't actually make a good call on that, Rob. I really don't know.
Okay.
Behind the back, it's a layup.
Alice, please come. Whatever your name is, just keep
it. Karen.
Well, that's good to know that he made that mistake. I always thought that like they had pre-recorded these, but obviously like he's right in there doing it right on the microphone.
They do it live.
Yeah, okay. Seems like it.
Okay. Gary wants to know, how the hell did neither Jess or Cody or both not compete for safety to prolong life of the Hex? Brent, how much discussion was there? We saw a little bit of Cody talking to Jess about it, and Jess was like, it's called a poker face, Cody.
Oh, I know.
Right. But it's not a poker face if you've already told him what you supposedly have.
Right.
I mean, like, you've already turned your hand over, or at least partially, so I don't really get that. Again, if they would have thought about this a little bit more. Look, here's the thing you have to understand about Jessica, okay? At this point in the game, before nominations, Jessica is utterly convinced that Paul is going to do what the, quote, house wants and go after Josh or go after Alex. That's how her perception is so off in this game right now. Like, Cody and Jessica together, I think, could actually make a pretty good player. But by themselves, they have terrible instincts. They really do. Every time they want to go right, it's left. Every time they want to go left, it's right. I haven't seen them make a good call yet. And this episode was just more of the same.
Yeah.
Karen, I mean,
you played with Dimitris and Ike in Big Brother Canada, and they were a showmance that was really, like, in the middle of everything. They had, like, a good sense of what was going on in the house. So what's the secret for a showmance to, you know, stay on top of the game and not just be sort of like too much involved with each other and, you know, missing the forest for the trees?
You just said it. You cannot just be too involved with each other. You have to be out in the forest with the squirrels. That's what you got to do. They always knew what was going on because they had other people they were talking to and working with. It's like you can't just isolate yourself and be, you know, having a afternoon delight all day. Sorry.
Yes. That's what Karen, that's cool. The chat room's like, we need uncensored Karen. That's what. So I like it that you're giving them
that
a little
was
bit of
uncensored
it.
Afternoon delight.
Well, you know, it was, she's moving towards her
can
real
you sing
self.
The song,
I know
Karen?
Who Karen is.
Rob warned me, chat room.
Yeah.
Okay. I got pre-warnings before I went on the show, even.
Yeah, right? I know, right? I get that too.
Behind the back.
Kelly, be warned. Don't talk about afternoon delights too much. Okay.
Karen, I wanted to ask you really quickly. Somebody in the chat, I can't remember who it was, wanted to know, who is the Jackie of the season? Like you didn't get along with Jackie all last season. So who is the Jackie?
I'd say Raven, wouldn't you? The McVictim is... Yeah.
Would you call it the McVictim?
I said I had McDrama, McVictim, McBitter in our season. So Raven was talking today about the 10-inch needle going up her ass like childbirth, and I'm thinking, I've birthed three children.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure she'll find a way to make it about herself.
Don't tell me what it feels like.
Yeah. I don't know if we need to know more about that, Karen.
No.
So you're anti-Raven? You're down on Raven?
Well, I'm not anti anyone. It's just like a ball team, Rob. Mm-hmm. You all have your favorites. Just like people didn't like me. I get it. I just want to have opinions. But when I now offer my opinion, sometimes I get drug around by my hair a lot.
Gotcha. No, Karen, you'd have been great on this season, honestly, because you wouldn't have put up with this BS. You really wouldn't have. You mm-hmm. you would have gone. You would have been evicted.
Yeah,
but
Karen,
you would not have put up with
had you on the block so quick.
Thank you. What a vote of confidence that is.
It really is. I mean, like, I'm
you
just
mean
so
somebody
sick of
would have actually yeah. wanted to put me on the block and get me out,
mm-hmm. right?
So yeah. I'd actually. This so Karen, I would have gone up
sketch.
In currency.
Yeah. You can't trust her. Okay. All right. This is from Who Cares? At Michelle T. Carroll. With Paul winning two HOHs and two POVs, do you think that these sheeple will wake up and realize that they are not playing the game? What do you think, Karen?
No.
No.
I think you could hit them over the head with the sledgehammer. They're all sleeping.
No.
Sleeping into next Tuesday. They're
not
no.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Can we talk about that really quickly? I mean, Paul, I feel like, Rob, we have to give some criticism to him for winning the HOH in the first place. I mean, like, he could have thrown it to Matt or Raven. I don't
they
understand
threw it
why.
To him, right?
Yeah. There were chances for him to do it if he wanted to do that. I'll just say that. Eric Stein on Twitter said, you know, Paul really making a mistake by going for HOH this hard, especially when he knew that his enemies were already out. He could have easily thrown it to somebody else, especially, you know, if he was worried about anything. And then they were rock solid. But they would have done exactly what he wanted to do.
Right. I thought that Raven and Matt had said that they threw it to Paul. They were like, oh, he knows what he's doing.
Rob, please, if he wants to throw it, he'll find a way to throw it. I guarantee you. There were five people. Well, it wasn't even just Matt and Raven. There were two people before them, like Josh and somebody else, who were still left. He could have thrown it to any one of them. And if it went to a tiebreaker, he could just throw like $1 billion or something on his thing. I mean, like, there was a way to throw this if he wanted to do it.
You know, Karen, we made a lot of comparisons back when Paul had the pendant of protection and 3 weeks of safety to Netta being safe for the first four or five evictions in Big Brother Canada. She won an HOH. She played an aggressive game during that period. And at the point where she wasn't protected, obviously, we know what happened. Did you see any similarities between what went on with Netta and at least the start of Paul's game?
100%. And people said the comparisons that I kept hearing is, you know, lay low, build the relationships, get to know the people, act like you give a shit about them, care about them, you know, suck them in a little bit more and don't put yourself out there and so much more visible. And, you know, that was the reverse. That's not what happened. And so it's kind of what that mob mentality takes over, just like with the fans. It's like, we're all like, somebody take him down. And it was like the same thing when Ike is like, you're going home. Thank you, Canada. Because we got little clips of the yelling and we were all, cause you know, you don't know what's going on the outside. And we were like, oh my God, are they loving this? Like, because you know, we know how popular Annette is and how she's loved and beloved by the fans. So you don't know what's happening. So I think his ego's thinking that as well, because he's very beloved and loved, and he would be shocked at what's going on, that people don't think this is great.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, is that Karen's right. Like, Paul's ego is so big. He was convinced that this power wasn't real because he was like, well, if it was that good, I would have gotten it. Yeah. And, you know, like, I mean, it just pisses people off when you say stuff like that. Sorry. No.
And then I got to say one other thing. When it's like last night, he's saying, I need to get into the DR. I need to get in. They need to get me in. I need some answers from them.
Right.
Like, they,
like, sit down, fool. Come
like
on.
They work for him. I'm thinking, oh,
yep,
come
right.
on.
Now, Karen, do you think that Paul has the right amount of paranoia? Is that going to serve him well? Because eventually people are going to look at him as a threat.
He doesn't have any paranoia, does he? He has no paranoia.
I mean, I would say he has a little bit, because he just, like, he will not, like, trust anybody else to do his work. Like, he could have easily thrown a competition or two.
That's a control freak, not paranoia.
Yeah. It's like tangentially related, Rob.
Okay. Same genus, different species. Okay. Byron Hussey, is Matt's strategy of being a team player the perfect strategy for Big Brother, the quintessential team game? Now, again, I don't know if he has the killer instinct in him, but is it possible? And tell me if I'm looking too much into this. I mean, could...
Wrong.
Oh, Brent,
nothing. Go ahead.
Is there a bit of a poor man's Hayden Moss in a Matt? Brent's wrong.
I mean, like, I'm if Karen, if you want to answer, go ahead. I can't see it right now.
He won competitions. Hayden won stuff.
But he also. I don't know. He had more of a killer instinct. He knew what his path was. He was like, we're going to do this. You guys are going to talk to them. We're going to do this, this, and this, and we're going to get to the end. I don't know that Matt really sees that right now. In fact, he's willing to give Raven the money because she apparently needs it so much. So she says.
Yeah, and so
the
he
only
says,
thing Matt is wrangling with is daily hunger pains and keeping dishes clean to eat more cereal. Like, come on.
Yeah, this was such a miscast. I really don't
understand.
There
is no game in this guy. Okay. Like, I feel like going in, I need to take your pulse.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah. Karen, I did think of if Matt was going to propose to Raven, I do think the move is that he goes into the cereal box and he says, well, there's a prize in here. And then he gets down on one knee. That'd be the perfect proposal for Raven.
Yeah, the lucky charm.
The lucky charm, yeah. Edmo, should Paul have called Jessica's bluff without knowing all the details? Karen, was this reckless on Paul's part?
I definitely think he played that wrong. They both did. They should be playing more of a game of cat and mouse and, like, lie and be lied to each other and, you know, just... whatever you want to hear and give you a little bit of lying information without using the production as a strategy kind of thing. But I think totally mishandled on both sides.
Yeah. Brent, could this have been one of those things where you're not allowed to say the person is going to be nominated? Because I feel like for Paul, what harm would it have been to say to her, like, well, so what's going to happen when I put you guys on the block?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't think it was. I don't think there was any rule in place that he was thinking of. I think that he wanted to put on a little bit of a show. He kind of wanted to. He thought what was going to happen was what happened to him the first week when he was named as the replacement nominee. He thought, I'm going to try to nominate them. Sirens are going to go off, and then I'll have to name someone new. Like, he was totally prepared for this, and that's why he didn't really want to talk to Jess, because I feel like he had his whole plan. And to be honest. Even if he was satisfied with it, he would have had to convince the house that he was satisfied with it. So I feel like the House really would have been like not very pleased if he decided to just sort of trust Jessica and Cody and put somebody else up on the block.
Okay. Well, it was a busy weekend on the live feed, so I want to get into talking about that. I know Karen's dying to talk about live feed stuff, so we're going to go ahead and bring you guys the spoilers. Coming up on Wednesday night, I'm going to be on my way to New York. Brent, you're going to be holding that one down?
Maybe. I forgot to text you, didn't I?
All right, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I will. I may be there Wednesday night, but I know Melissa will be there, and it'll be a good time.
Okay. All right. So be on the lookout for our next live show on Wednesday night if you are bouncing. Otherwise, we got a lot of spoilers coming up. Here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, there we go. We are ready to talk about a busy weekend. I should have done like the... Okay, I'm hitting the pans to get ready for the spoilers. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Get them out.
Yes, okay. So, wild weekend kicking off, and I'm sure it will be an exciting show coming up on Wednesday night. Brent, all right, let's do the short version, of course, that if you want the longer version of each night of the weekend, you could watch Taryn's recap from Saturday and Sunday. But a lot of fighting going down in the House, Brent.
Yeah, right after nominations, really quickly, Cody and Jessica went up to HOH with Paul. They let him have it. At one point, Paul told Jessica to lower her voice. Then all hell broke loose. Cody got really mad at Paul, lost his temper. You know, Jessica and Cody are yelling at Paul. Your HOH is now worthless. Paul's like, you know, get the F out. So then Mark downstairs, everybody's listening to this. Of course, Paul's ranting to everybody because he hasn't been challenged all season long. So he's ranting to anybody who will listen. Josh starts making fun of Cody, saying, "You're going home." Mark opens his mouth one time to defend Cody or to tell Josh to tone it down. And then Josh he's waiting to go in on Mark because he's just had it up to here with Mark. And he lets him have it. They get into a big fight. It came close to, we thought there was going to be an expulsion because Josh.
Willie Hans territory, right.
Very much so, yeah. Willie Hans territory. Yeah. Like, really getting pissed off. Josh is banging pots and pans, like you saw in the episode, but he just went on and on and on and on and on. Paul's mad at everybody, so he's yelling. That's the one thing that Paul's not like Derek. He gets really pissed and just like lets people have it.
Pissed.
And just can't control his temper. And at one point, Mark got so mad at Josh, he just like literally like charged him like a bull. I thought he was going to take a swing at him with Kevin in the middle, and like he wanted to take the pans away, but he did it in a very aggressive manner and like took the pan up like this and like made him flinch, and then feet's cut. So it was just a disaster. Jessica's not happy with Cody because of how he interacted with Paul. Mark obviously is going on some apology tour, and that's where we stand going into the veto competition.
All right, Karen, what's your assessment of all of this so far?
Well, I love the drama, the petty, the drama, the yelling, the pot clanging. Like that's the shit I live for as a fan. So I'm like, yeah, bring it on finally. So they were lit for sure. I was out and came home to it. So the Twitter was going.
No, but I kind of feel like good for Mark I think that's I think he's got to stand up to Josh. I mean, Josh was just walking all over him. Maybe, you know, take the pans and throw them over the fence. For Mark, you can only take so much.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Yeah. Go ahead, Karen. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I don't blame him at all. Like, it's like, you know, justified. Of course, the only thing is what you said, expulsion. That's how I'm thinking. If it goes to blows or people start touching each other, somebody's gone home. So it's like in that situation, a pressure cooker, you're locked inside. It's like, uh-oh. Like, I love it. But I definitely don't want somebody to go at this point, like, for that.
Yeah, and it's getting to a point where Josh is provoking the fights. Like, he's trying to get something. He wants somebody to take a swing at him. Like, he says he doesn't, but I feel like there's a part of him that would sort of relish that if he was able to get Mark out of the House for something stupid like that. So he's giving us all the entertainment we want. But I'm with you, Rob, that I feel like Mark, I don't know if he doesn't have, like, a half speed. Like, it's either he's sitting and looking glazed-eyed at you with his head cocked, or he's like charging at you like a freaking bull. Like, I'm with Liana. I heard her on a feeds update. I thought he was going to be out of the house when the feeds came back, but they had basically given him a talking to, saying, you know, you got yeah. basically you guys knock it off, and so everyone's still in the house.
Yeah, I want the entertainment too, but is banging the pots is that entertaining? I mean, it's not that entertaining.
It's
really lowest common denominator, is it not?
It's not that entertaining, but it's just trying to get a reaction. It's just trying to create some drama. At least he's not, like, I've heard the fans saying, you know, at least he's not being racist and sexist and homophobic and everything else that people go. But I'm saying, at least he's just being loud and the meatball and the banging and stuff to get people riled up. I mean, it's a lot more entertainment than Matt eating cereal. I don't care.
More entertaining than Matt eating cereal. But again, low bar.
Okay.
You know, that,
I like him. Know. I like him in there. I'm voting to keep him in there.
You know,
I would get along with him. If I was in that house, I guarantee you I would be getting along with Josh.
Okay. Brent,
me too. I love Josh. I do. I mean, he drives me crazy, and I'm with you, Rob, that I can't stand it when he talks all this big smack in the diary room. Like, I'm going to let Jess and Cody have it, you know, when they get nominated. I'm going, ha, 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 ha. And, of course, nothing. I mean, like, after he was saved on Thursday night, he said he was going to laugh in their face. Nothing. I mean, all you saw was a little bit on the episode where he was like, well, you know, you guys don't seem very happy that I stayed. I mean, which is weak sauce, Rob. It's weak sauce.
Weak sauce. Weak tomato sauce on those meatballs.
He's reaching a little because he's young. It's just a young, and he just wants to make a presence in there. But, you know, I like it. It's good.
Okay.
It's all good.
Let's talk about the veto, which we alluded to earlier, a second veto for Paul this season. Okay, so this is where things get a little interesting. Now Paul has a second chance to change up nominations if he so desires. Brent, what's Paul thinking about with the veto?
Well, keep in mind that Jason's on the block as a third nominee. That's important to keep that in mind. I think all things being equal, he probably would just pull Jason down. However, there is this hex in play, and he, at this point, is not really convinced that it's real. He doesn't know. He's convinced that someone's going to go home. He just doesn't know how it's going to happen. He really has no idea at this point in time what the true power of the hex is. So his options are obviously keep nominations the same, pull Jason down, which is probably what he's likely to do. Then there would be no replacement nominee. He wouldn't have to get further blood on his hands. Or he could do something interesting like, you know, pull Jessica down if he thinks that maybe her power is dependent on the fact that she's on the block. And then maybe she would be less likely to use the hex if she was off the block, and put Elena up. And that was also a possibility for Paul.
Also, I want to talk about this idea of trying to sell Jess on Cody should go home.
Right.
So Paul has tried to make this case as well. Right, Brent?
Right. Well, that's before he didn't start doing that until he understood the true ramifications of the hex. So Paul, as Karen alluded to, Paul marched into the diary room and wanted answers, and he got really pissed because they wouldn't give him any answers yesterday. They would only answer one question, which is that no house guest is guaranteed 3 weeks of safety, which is basically what Jessica claimed at the end of
the... Wasn't Paul guaranteed 3 weeks of safety?
From this point on,
okay.
That's what they said. No one is guaranteed 3 weeks into jury, basically. So, Paul wanted to know, or he instantly thinks, well, that's a lie. And by the way, I remember your update show with Taryn. You were like, well, you know, that's a very liberal reading of what her true power is. I think this was the diary room's way of cleaning up after themselves. Like, they wanted to make sure that was cleaned up, but they weren't going to tell him anything more. So he's hot. He's pissed. He wants his answers from the diary room. He's convinced he's going to get them. He never really does, but they tell him, look, she can't lie about her power. She can't make something up. So then he goes to Jessica, and he says, let's have a talk about this. At this point in time, it's really awesome because Paul is thinking hard about, and has already talked to people about the fact he's going to put Elena on the block and pull Jessica down. That way, one of them goes home. He thinks it's player specific that she can either save Cody or save Elena, but she can't save them both. He doesn't understand it. So that would have been great because it would have exposed to Elena that Paul's not really on your side. He just pulled Jessica down and put you up. But then Jessica, with her incredible timing again, decides to tell Paul at this point the real power, and it takes him a while to process it, but once he understands what the true power is, you know, Karen will tell you information is power in the Big Brother game, and now that Paul knows knows what her hex is. Now he knows how to play against it, and that's where this whole play to try to get Jessica not to use the hex comes in.
And that she was willing to sell her showman slash boyfriend who she loves, who she's sitting there saying, he fought for our country. You guys really don't understand, blah, 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 blah. As she's in her black bikini trying to sell him down the river saying, okay. And then she starts 2 hours later having second thoughts like, well, he's a really nice guy. I don't want to do this. And I'm like, right. Oh my God.
Here, like, here's a couple things. Pissed. Keep in mind. Like, I'm not going to get into the specifics because it's not important. Basically, Cody and Jessica are still fighting right now. Okay. There's a couple things that have happened that have caused fights, but basically Cody wants to leave the game at this point. He's like, I feel like I'm worse for you. I'm not helping you. I want you to succeed. It's better for you if I'm not here. Don't use the hex on me. And so that's what Paul wants, of course, because Paul wants Cody out before jury. So that's what's going on here. And Jessica is trying to decide, look, I'm going to save you all the trouble. Okay. Jessica's using the hex. I don't care what. We can talk about the deal that Paul has now offered her. I don't care. She's gonna use the hex. It's a smart game move, as we have talked about in this show, and it's also the better emotional move for her because, as of right now on the feeds, she still likes Cody. She doesn't want to see him go home, and she knows he's never gonna put her up. So why in the world would she let him go home? I also think she might be facing a little bit of pressure from the diary room. They want this hex to be used. You know that. So I feel like she's look, here's the other thing. If Paul, there's a plan in place to try to get her not to use the hex, which we can talk about. But that plan depends on Jessica remaining on the block. I mean, there's no way she's going to do that. If she's on the block, she's not going to not use the hex.
Okay.
Thank you. She has to.
Sorry, there's so many moving parts. I'd rather listen to Karen talk, but there's so much crap going on in the feeds right now with Paul's plan to try to basically trick Jessica into not using the hex. Long story short, he wants her to not use the hex. Jessica entertained it because she's having fights with Cody right now. She said, look, if I didn't use this, I would want two things. One, 2 weeks of safety. I don't go up on the block ever, even as a replacement nominee. Two, I want Alex out of the house. Paul sees an end. He's like, okay, we got her. We got her. This is, well, everybody will just promise her everything. Basically, the people that lied to Jessica last week are going to lie to her again this week. And so they all got, like I said, long story short, Paul got them all in the room, told them what to do. They said, yes, master, we'll do that. They all told Jessica, yes, we will target Alex. We were going to target her anyway, which is a lie. We won't put you up on the block, which is a lie. And here we are.
2 weeks of safety is not even that great. The halting hex is two more weeks of safety.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it said four, right? Yeah. It was four and not, right.
I mean, if she can escape the block this week with the halting hex, she has safety automatically. So I don't know why she would negotiate for
last quick point.
If she doesn't
the thing
use
that Paul,
the halting hex.
The thing that Paul's trying to use to basically bully Jessica into not using the hex is that they all think that they've made jury because when Paul won HOH, they were like, yeah, you know, we know Paul's side of the house. We know we're not going up on the block. So we've made jury because there's only going to be 11 people left. And of course, we know better because of the true powers of the hex. Once Paul realizes it, he's like, look, if you use the hex, that means we're not in jury anymore. And, you know, you're going to have 9 people pissed at you. Jessica's like, I don't care what the house wants. The house hasn't done anything for me. And I live for her snatching Paul's wig at this point.
Okay. All right. So that's where we stand right now, Brent.
That's where we stand right now. Paul thinks he's convinced Jessica not to use the hex. But Jessica has told him, look, if I feel anything funny on Thursday night, because, you know, I have to use it before the vote. See, the house guests don't know that she can use that. They think she can use it after the vote. Mm-hmm. So,
well, she just found that out, right?
Well,
an hour ago
that.
Before we came on. But they all know now. And she's like, no, she told Paul. And that changed things. And she's like, so just if anything happens funny, I'm using it.
The
it's
hex.
Like, you better, girl, bye if you don't use it. You better be flipping.
I told you we're kindred spirits, Rob.
Yes. Okay, so Thursday night, Paul is presuming that Jessica will not use the halting hex, but we are expecting her to use the halting hex.
Yes.
Then there will be another HOH competition, and Brent Paul will be ineligible for this next HOH competition.
Yeah, and he's already like playing... He's already planned it out because he's like, look, I've made my best play. If she uses the hex, number one of those two have to win HOH. He's still counting on Mark as his side, which I guarantee you Mark will not do Paul's bidding if he actually wins HOH. And I don't even know about Elena, but that's close. And then even if they do win HOH by some miracle, I'm going to play in the safety competition, and then I'm going to, if not, I'll be last place, and then I can guarantee myself I can play in the veto. So Paul is trying to convince himself that he's not worried right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a couple more questions before we wrap up. Shakespeare 527, people are saying it's a wasted HOH, but isn't there some wisdom in flushing the hex and eliminating it? Karen, we talked about this on the Friday live feed update, that if Paul, all he does this week is get Jessica to flush the halting hex. Is there a victory there for him?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
What would have been the better move? Because he really is in a tight spot here with Jessica and Cody at the halting hex. Mark ends up getting the immunity from the temptation competition. Was there another player on the board he could have gotten out this week?
Well, I mean, he should be thinking that there shouldn't be, because this is one thing, Rob, we're all thinking this, aren't we, Brent? It's like, okay, you've got two people that you, Cody and Jess, they go. Then you have what? Josh, Mark, everybody has to go to get, there's two people left at the end. Like that they're thinking about protecting eight people is so ridiculous to me. It's like, there's two of you. You're not all going to be sitting there.
Yeah. Well, I think
some other targets.
I will say really quickly that there is a little bit of a sub-alliance happening between Alex and Jason, Matt and Raven, and Paul. Of course, Paul's in the middle of everything. So obviously would leave Kevin, Josh, and somebody who I'm forgetting. Who am I forgetting? Mm-hmm. Anyway, and he leaves them out. So girl bye to them if things continue on the course that they're on right now, and they won't be long for this world. But again, I don't think Josh is that kind of a player. I don't think he would take it lying down. And I do think that even Josh says he is with Paul, that once jury starts, especially, I feel like he's going to wake up again. This was a worthless veto. I don't understand. Well, Paul, you're the HOH. Why are you winning the veto? Like, and his score was like, 6.7 points better than everybody else. His target is just so big at this point. Dr. Will famously said, like, I'm going to make my target so big that, nobody even sees it anymore. It's invisible. And I'm like, Paul's target is so big that you can't miss it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Andrew Kirk wants to ask Karen, had the temptation safety competition been in Big Brother Canada 5, which weeks would you have accepted it? Karen, would you have ever gone into a competition knowing that if you came in last, you would end up on the block?
Well, knowing that I would be the first one out, like, you know how I competed. Right. Who's asking this?
Kirk.
Did you watch the season? Andrew, did you watch? You know that I would probably end up, then I'd be on the block.
Yeah, I think this is like some, this is, they're trolling you, Kev, or Karen, with this question.
No, Andrew wouldn't do that. Andrew wouldn't do that.
Like, Andrew, come on.
Miguel.
Yes, you know I would have been on the block.
Miguel asking, do you guys think the trio of Cody, Jessica, and Mark can manage to make it far if they can go on a comp winning streak and recruit? Brent, could Cody, Jessica, and Mark run the table?
No, I mean, that's all of our hopes and dreams right now. At least most people. I know there's some Paul fans out there. I know there's some Alex fans out there. But right now, I mean, everybody's rooting for Cody and Jessica because they're the only people
Cody and Jessica?
Most people are rooting for Cody and Jessica because they're not drinking the Kool-Aid. Yes!
I think that people like them. The fans like them because they're not doing the status quo. They're not marching to the dictator.
Right.
And people don't want
people
that.
People don't like that, the establishment.
Yes.
They do not. They want somebody to buck the system.
Don't. They don't want to vote for the man, Rob.
Okay.
No, they don't. All right.
Let's do one last one. Anthony S. Is the have not room key temptation the lamest twist in Big Brother history? Karen, do you like when they pick the key out of who's the have not for another week?
I don't like the production value of like them trying to make this huge deal of it like Elena did last night. It's like, who cares? You're on it for two more weeks or you're off it. Like you guys can never, who haven't played this, understand how bad that slop truly is.
Oh, I understand.
Like,
I know.
Like, seriously, like, it's like, it doesn't even get the effect on TV. I don't know how we can make it like reality, because this is the only part of reality TV that isn't reality. Like, I slept on concrete and ate that shit for a week. It was, I mean, I can't even describe it, how bad it is. I don't miss meals.
Brent, I thought that John Krause did a compelling job of making the have not key sound interesting.
I mean, Rob, it's like the medallion of power of Big Brother. Like, it's really terrible. And like, they never even show it on the show except for that like one time. And besides, like, it's just, again, it's just, it's a big nothing burger. Like, why didn't they do a competition or like a mini competition or something fun they can do in the house? Yeah. Like, at this point, here's the thing. Yes. The house guests aren't even telling people, like Mark did last week, they aren't even telling people that they're going to do the key because they don't want their housemates to make fun of them if they pick the wrong key. So they're doing it in secret now, not even giving us good feeds.
Okay. All right. Well, Karen... Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on with us. I'm so glad we were able to work
Thank
it out.
You for
Follow
having
Karen
me.
On Twitter. She's at Karen's Real, right?
That's me, yep.
Okay. Karen, can you help us come up with the hashtag tonight?
Hashtag tonight. losers get a brain.
I love it. I love it. Oh, my God.
Quit being a bunch of fucking followers. Yeah. Sorry. I had to say fuck. Quit being a bunch of fucking followers.
Karen, you did a great job. Please come back anytime.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. We've got a lot more coming up this week. Of course, shows Wednesday and Thursday night. I'm actually attempting to stream the live show on Thursday night. That can always be a little dodgy. No matter what, we'll have a recording up of it after the fact coming up. And, of course, the podcast in the podcast feed. So be on the lookout for that. Brent, LFC Roundtable tomorrow, right?
OG Crew's back. 8 o'clock. See you then. Eastern time.
Okay, be on the lookout for that. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes as well. Of course, live show coming on Thursday. And then RehabCon coming to Salt Lake City the 25th and 26th of August. For ticket information for that, go to RehabCon.com. Wednesday, I believe Ronnie Talbot is going to be on the show. So also be on the lookout for that. Should be a lot of fun with Ronnie. Game of Thrones fans, check out our recap of tonight's Game of Thrones. Myself and Stephen Fishback over on postshowrecaps.com. Have a good one. Take care, everybody. Bye.